Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the great truths that are placed there for our help. Now, Father, I pray for our pastor as he comes and starts the new year, first Sunday morning message, that you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power, using this morning to help us, thy children. And Father, I'd ask this morning that you'd use Pastor Johnson to touch the hearts of those in this room that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, so that they would trust him this morning and be saved for this eternal life. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me ask you once again to make sure your electronic devices are turned off or turned to where they will not make any noise during the service. We'd appreciate that very much, please. Also ask you to sit still and listen very carefully. I have noon, which means I really don't get to preach at all. We're just going to read the verse, say amen, and go to hop back and have lunch. That's not going to happen, and you know that. But anyway, these first Sunday mornings of the new year, these four Sundays of January, if God gives us four Sundays together, say, what could happen, Pastor Johnson? Jesus could come back. Then we'll all be in heaven. If you're saved, I don't know if we'll have another Sunday. I just count on the fact we have this moment, this time, and we go from there. But if God gives us four Sundays together to start this year, I'm going to give you four words that are going to help you in 2009, help you throughout this year, and we'll need them, I guarantee you. And the first one is the most important of all, and it's the word faith. We're going to need faith this year. We're going to find out what kind of faith we have. We're going to find out who we have faith in. Our faith is going to be tested this year. So why this year, Pastor Johnson? Because it's tested every year. Your faith was tested in 2008. Not to give you a greater faith as much as to reveal to you what kind of faith you have and where you have placed it. Well, Pastor Johnson, see, I have a problem with faith. Faith is a problem with me. No, it's not. Everyone has faith in something or somebody. Everyone does. It's like people say, well, I just don't believe in things. Everybody believes in something. Everybody does. And everyone has faith in somebody or something. Most people have faith in themselves. It's what the humanistic society we have created in America today is trying to get you to do. Well, just believe in yourself. That's what we need. We need people to believe in themselves. No, the truth of the matter is that's a bad place to put your faith. Human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There are people who have not only faith in themselves, there are people who have faith in others. They're going to place their faith in their fellow man. I like what I saw a bumper sticker one of the members of our church had many years ago, and it said, I trust everybody, but I brand all my calves. that's, I'm not skeptical. I'm just optimistically skeptical. There are some people you can put your faith in, but I guarantee you just about anybody on this planet under certain circumstances could let you down. See, we all have faith, and there are people who put their faith in things, material things or possessions or those sorts of things. They put their faith in that. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. And one of them we call mammon, which is just the things of this life. And the things of this life are the master of many people today, and they have put their faith in those things. This last year, I think, taught a lot of people to not put your faith in things. There are those who have faith not only in those things, but they have faith in possibilities. They want to be optimistic, and so they say, well, it's a new year, Pastor Johnson. I've asked a lot of folks today, how's your new year going? Most of them said, well, pretty good so far. It's only 4 days old. Can't be too messed up. I hope not too messed up by now anyway. But things are going to change in America this year. The world is in a constant flux of change, constantly. The Middle East situation is right now a tinderbox. All it takes is one nut in Iran with a nuclear weapon, and this world will erupt. Does that mean I'm pessimistic, that I have no hope for the future? No, but my faith is not in possibilities. That's subject to change in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, this last year was a tough year financially for a lot of people. Yes? For everybody. I don't know anyone who didn't experience some degree of financial difficulty this past year. What if we have another one of those years where everything just turns on a dime? Housing prices go up to the roof again. Bing, boom. Our elected leaders who've come in promised us all the stuff they're going to give us. Actually try it. Then bankrupt America. But then try it. And America, then this year is an unbelievably prosperous year for us economically, financially, health-wise. I mean, they find the cure for everything this year. All the isms are gone. Every disease is cured by one miraculous cup of coffee. Imagine the possibilities of this year. And it could all go in the tank this year. America could be mired in more military conflicts, and we would have men and women to stand up and fight them. We could have terrorism on our shore to unbelievable degree. See, possibilities are nowhere to put your faith. Jesus told us where to put our faith. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22, he simply said, have faith in God. You see, look at me. If we're going to have faith this year, let's make sure we have the object of faith right. And not, look at me, not God somewhere on the list. God on the top of the list. If you have faith in anybody on this planet, ladies and gentlemen, any person, any being, any creature, anything, any ism, any philosophy, anything in life, you have faith in anybody, you make sure you put your faith in God. First of all and foremost. Why? Because He never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever God believed in the past, God believes today, God will believe in the future. Whatever God said was right then is right now, will be right always. Whatever God said was wrong then is wrong now, will be wrong always. God doesn't change His mind. God isn't insecure. God isn't wondering what's going on in heaven. And we're talking about the God of this universe. The God. The big G God. Not a God. The God. Have faith in God. Now this year we're going to find out if you've got faith in God. God, the one who hears and answers our prayers. The one who numbers the hairs on our head. The one who notes the sparrows fall. The one who clothes the lilies of the field. This God. The God of that book right there. The God of the Bible. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who stepped out onto nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. The Almighty, All-Creator God. That's the object of our faith. Now the source of our faith. Romans 10 and 17, the Bible says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by... Okay, now emphasis on hearing twice in that verse. It's very important. The source of our faith needs to come from the Bible. This is God's book, yes? This is God's book. This is God's book. God wrote this book. Man did not write the Bible. God wrote the Bible. He told people what to write. He gave them the words and made sure they put it on the paper, parchment, vellum, animal skin, papyrus, or whatever it was. They wrote it down exactly like he told them to. And then the God of heaven that spun the stars in their courses, puts the sun out in the morning, puts the moon out at night, that same God took his power and made sure we got a copy of it so we would have a copy of this book in our hands. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now here's what we think. So then all I have to do is listen to the Bible and I have faith. He said hearing. Hearing. He mentioned it twice. Hearing the word of God. See, what he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, in this thing of hearing is this. Look at me. It means hearing. It means receiving it as it is. We don't question what the Bible says. You don't have faith by questioning God's word. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that part right there. Nah, I'm not sure about that. Now, is that really what Jesus meant? Look at me. If he said it, that's what he meant. Now, that produces faith. The rest of the stuff just leaves you with questions. And I'm sick and tired of these little peanut, finite-minded little dudes whose knowledge, if you rate it in terms of gasoline, couldn't drive an ant's go-kart around the inside of a Cheerio one time, who think they can sit around and question and criticize and condemn the Word of God, and they are smarter than God. We don't sit in judgment on the Bible. The Bible judges us. We do not judge the Bible. Now, faith cometh by hearing. That means you receive it as it is. If the Bible says it's so, it's so. If the Bible says it ain't, then it ain't. And that's bad English, but it's good practice. Pastor Johnson, I don't know if I can have faith like that. You have faith in something? Come on, people, look at me. Some clown stands up on a news station and steps up on a news station and tells you this is what happened in New York City and you weren't there, you didn't see it, but you believe exactly what he told you. Now, why can you believe a fallible human being and his record of what he said he saw and what he said took place? Why can't you believe the infallible record of the Word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It means you receive it like it is. The Bible says heaven's up here and hell's down there. That's the way it is. If the Bible says heaven is for the saved and hell is for the lost, that's the way it is. If the Bible says Jesus was born of a virgin, that's the way it is. If the Bible says Jesus lived a sinless life, that's the way it is. If that's just the way the Bible says it, that's the way it is. If it says this is sin, it's sin. If it says this is right, it's right. If this is good, it's good. If this is bad, it's bad. I don't care what era we live in. I don't care what society accepts or condones or allows. I don't care whether they say we're right, intolerant, hateful, mean, or unkind. But if the Bible says it's right, it's right. And if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. And that's all there is to it. That's hearing the Word of God. Rather than putting it up to the New York phone book, rather than putting it next to an encyclopedia, rather than laying it next to a medical journal and saying, well, this is what the Bible says and this is what the psychiatrist says. This is what the Bible says. This is what the philosopher says. This is what the Bible says. This is what the physician says. This is what the Bible says. This is what the politician says. This is what the Bible says. You know, the truth of the matter is, your people, that's not hearing the Word of God. No, that's just listening to what the Bible says and comparing it to, well, you know, after all, societally, that isn't really acceptable in society today, even though that's what the Bible says. Too bad. Then society's wrong, the Bible's right. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It means you receive it as it is. You hear it like it's given, and you say, okay, I don't understand it. So, well, Pastor, we don't all understand the Bible the way you do. I don't understand everything in the Bible either. There are things in this book I still can't wrap my head around what it says. They say, so you doubt it. No, I don't doubt it. It's what the Bible says. Problem's up here. Look at me. Right here. See this? Right here. Not here. Here. So it's just my understanding, but I believe what it says. I accept it. I hear it. I receive it. It means you make it personal. Boy, that's what the Bible says. I wish my brother would have read that. He didn't. You did. Hear it. Well, then that must be for me. Look at me. You read the Bible and it's you, boy. You hear it. It means you receive it. It means you take it as it is. It means you make it personal. It means you trust what it tells you. Faith requires me to trust that what the Bible says is so for me and for anybody else too, by the way. Have faith in God. Get it from His Word. Now listen to me. And then do something about it. James chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says this. So then faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, you're going to find out in 2009 whether you have a living faith or a dead faith. See, we got this idea that somehow or another God's locked up in this building or some religious building somewhere. We go down, we visit Him on a Sunday, we say, hi God, how you doing God? Pat Him on the head like a nice little dog, get up and walk out. But when it comes to the real life stuff, as soon as something happens, we got to pick up this book, that author. We got to hear this person, that person. We got to go to this one or that one. Instead of having a faith that's living, my friend. See, my faith's no different in this building than it is in my car when I'm driving home or in my house where I live or in my day-to-day life. You need to have a faith that lives because it lives because you do something with what you believe. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. That's why this stuff, people, they get all enamored with these new ideas, isms, and philosophies. Oh, there'll be a whole new brand of sweethearts and doctrines and teachings that'll go down the pipe this year. Every year now we're getting new stuff. Every year. Oh, man, if it's not Dr. Phil, then it's this guy over here, and it's this person. It's T. Barry Brazelton, and it's this guy over here. And did you read the latest book about so-and-so who said they died, went to heaven, and came back? Now, first of all, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's what the Bible says. Secondly, if I go to heaven, I'm not coming back. I love you, but too bad, you're on your own, pal. I'm on the other side. I'm playing golf until you show up. That's just how it is. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we get all enamored with these things. And it's all somehow or another, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We're like, So we have to come up with new stuff. We don't get into the tingle around here a lot. Have you noticed that? We don't try to make you tingle when you come to church. We get you cold enough where you're numb, but we don't try to make you tingle. You actually go outside and it's warmer outside than it is in here in January. That's brutal. But the truth is, don't touch the metal on those chairs. Your fingers will stick to them. But the truth is, we don't do the tingle thing big around here. We're not in the entertainment industry. I am not a performer. This is not entertainment. We're not here to draw you in by using some carnal stuff to try and... We're here to give you a good old dose of the Word of God. You get it through the music, you get it through the singing, you get it through the preaching, you get it through everything that we do here. We're giving you a good old dose of the Bible because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Sad day in America when just the Bible is not good enough for our services anymore. We got to spend hours on worship dancing. And then they have to practice worship dancing. Got to have all the worship stuff, and it's got to be a slick little Hollywood-looking program. What kind of junk is that? Well, it's appealing. Yeah, it's appealing. It's appealing to the Hollywood crowd. It's appealing to the television crowd. It's appealing to the carnal crowd. Why isn't the Christian crowd out there going, where's the Bible? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, because you need to take in the Word of God, and then you need to do something. As soon as you put the do to faith, faith comes alive. We had in this, during the Lord's Supper this morning, how many have been saved 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years? Tell me these people go to church after all these years of salvation now because they tingle, because somebody entertains them. No, you take these saints of God who have been saved all these years, take them to a church that just tries to entertain them. They won't stay there 5 minutes because there's not enough Bible in there to blow the fuzz off a peanut. Because you got to have faith, and if to have faith, I've got to have God's Word. But then you got to look at me, Christian. You got to do something with it. You know why this church doesn't just exactly fit right for some people? Because we challenge you to do something with what you hear. And then that challenge of do takes it from sitting in the pew to, that rhymes. From the pew to do, that rhymes. That's snappy. Does it make you tingle? But the truth of the matter is, we try to get you to take this thing out of here to your life. Take it home. Take it to the house. Take it to work. Take it to the side. Take it to the sidewalks. Take it to life. Because when you live it, it comes alive. That faith is what we need for 2009. We need a bunch of religious isms. We don't need to line ourselves up with all the religions of the world and say, well, there's these guys, there's those guys, and then there is us. No, friend, that's dead faith, dead faith, dead faith, dead faith. Living faith is to take the Word of God that you know, you believe, you trust, you have confidence in, say, that's the book, this is what I'm going to do, and put something to life in your life by living your faith. You're in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's get to the sermon. Look at three people here quickly, please. Notice verse 4 is the man Abel. Verse 5 and verse 6 is the man Enoch. Verse 7 is the man Noah. These three men and what their faith did and what they did with their faith is what we need today. It says that Abel, and let's go quickly there, please. It says Abel in Hebrews 11, 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now watch this. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and it by it he being dead, yet speaketh. You know how long Abel lived? Almost 6,000 years ago. His faith is still being spoken of. He being dead is still speaking through the life that he has lived. And do you know why? Because when he put practice to his faith, Abel found something out that we need to know for 2009, and that's this. The Bible said he was found out he was righteous. You know what righteous means in the Bible? It means you did the right thing. You did the right thing. You know what it's really sad? A person who lives their entire life for the wrong things comes to the end of their life and says, oops. Because you don't get another one. There is no reincarnation. That Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment statement applies not only to life after death, it applies to life and death. You got one shot at life, friend. That's all you've got. You don't want to put your ladder on the success wall, climb to the top, and find out you've got the wrong wall and the wrong ladder. If we take our faith and we put it to practice based on what the Bible says, you will find a life that is right and your life will be right. And it will never be so until you do. Now, friend, look at me this morning. It isn't that complicated. See, we go to church, we listen to what the Bible says, and we go, oh, whoa, I ain't doing that. Whoa. It's almost like church service is almost like a car wreck. You hear the tires screeching. Uh-oh, I ain't doing that one. And then we wonder why our life doesn't turn out right. It's not because I say it makes it right. If I preach it from the Bible and the Bible says this is what you should do, your life isn't going to be right until you do what the Bible says. We don't want to live 2009, get to the end of the year and go, that was a waste, I should have never done that. We don't have to do that. You don't want to get to the end of your life and say, would God I had not done that with my life. His name was George Kaiser. I used to go to the Anderson Care Nursing Home Center. That's a different name now. In the city of Anderson there for, oh my soul, 10, 12 years, every Thursday, and hold a service there. He was one of those great, big, raw bone kind of guys you could tell in life was just a big man. Huge hands. They bring him into the service in a wheelchair. Over the years that I went there, I watched as they took off the parts of his limbs. Had a severe case of diabetes. The last year before George Kaiser went to heaven, they had taken everything off from the knee down, both legs. He'd sit in the service, and we'd sing hymns together in the service, and then I'd preach to these dear people, and he'd sit there and cry through the whole thing. One day after the service, I said, Brother Kaiser, I said, are you okay? I said, am I doing something to upset you, or are you all right? And he goes, oh, no, Brother Johnson. He goes, no, it's not that I'm upset with anything that's said or done. He goes, I love it. I love the hymns, and I love the preaching. He says, but you see, when I was a young man, I was supposed to preach the gospel, and I didn't. He said, I didn't live a wicked life. He goes, but now, while I watch them take off parts of my body, and I'm here in this place, he said, I realized I wasted my chance at the life I should have lived for God. And now, he says, I can't make it right. Abel, the Bible says, was righteous. Not perfect. He was right. His life was right. That's what faith does. When you take what you believe based on the Word of God, place it in the Almighty God who wrote it, and then you put it into practice, the Bible says your life will be right. It will be right. We don't have to get somebody to tell us how it goes. I used to go visit. Then after the service, I'd go visit patients in their room that couldn't come down there, and I'd talk with them and stuff. One lady, I walked into her room one day. I said, how are you today? She goes, I don't know. The doctor hasn't been here yet. I said, well, does he have to tell you how you feel? She goes, yes. One dear lady, I walked in, I said, how are you today? She goes, huh? I said, how are you today? Huh? How are you today? Huh? I said, how are you today? She said, fine. Went to the next room, walked to this lady, go, I ain't wasting time, I hit the top level. How are you today? She goes, why are you yelling at me? Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, friend. You'll be like Abel, that he was righteous. You do the right thing. Look at me. Your life will be right. Now, it's got to be some of the way. See, you don't have faith. You don't have faith to trust in what the Bible says is the right thing to do. You do what the Bible says, your life will be right. That's what the Bible says. That's where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Enoch, verse 5 and 6. You notice it says his faith pleased God. By faith, Enoch, verse 5, was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he that cometh to God must believe he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The right kind of faith pleases God. Got it? I said it pleases God. So what, Pastor Johnson? And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want to be right this year? Do what the Bible says. You want to be blessed this year? Do what the Bible says. Do you know why? Because it pleases God. Yeah, but see, I don't know if my girlfriend will like that or not. I don't know if my husband will like that or not. I don't know if my boyfriend will like that or not. I don't know if my family's going to like that or not. I don't know what my friends are going to think about that or not, Pastor Johnson. Okay, then live to please them. And when you need help, call them. Then call them. It's like people call our church all the time for help. And we do our best to help as many as we possibly can. There's no way humanly we could help everyone who calls us. No way. It's just not possible. But I'm amazed at how many people say, I don't go to church, I don't care for church, but I need this. Could you help me? I almost want to say, why are you calling me now then? You don't need us until you need something, then you call. That's not right. We go to God and we say, you know what, God, I don't really trust you, I don't really believe in you, but man, could you get me out of this jam? And we wonder why the heaven is brass and the ceiling is cement. Because the Bible said faith pleases God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We want the success button, whatever that one is. You know, instant success. Get all the stuff you wanted. You get the yacht, you get the house, you get the thing, you get the stuff. You get this, you get that. All your hair comes back. All your health goes returned to you. You're tall and skinny and everything else happens. We want that button that we push. We want God to give us everything we want with no expectation of us, from us in our lives. No, if your life is lived by faith, you do what the Bible says, that pleases God. Then he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith isn't just some generic word that sort of covers whatever people believe in. No. Faith in God, trusting that book, obedience to the Bible, pleases God. And God says, now, how may I help you? And then there's Noah. Verse number 7, his faith saved him and his family. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Did you realize Noah's faith saved Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, Miss Ham, Miss Shem, Mrs. Japheth, and would have saved the living human race on this planet at the time in that ark if they'd been smart enough to listen to him out there building a boat in the middle of nowhere where it had never rained before. But Noah had enough faith to keep going. I always think, every time I read this story of Noah and the ark, I always think to myself, come on, 100+ years on a handful of verses from God. Noah, build an ark. Here's how big it is, how tall, how wide, how deep, how thick. 3 stories, go. God doesn't show up for 100 years after that. I always think, you know, he had to start wondering somewhere down the road if he got this thing right. You know, did God say build an ark? Did he say build a park? Or did he say come in after dark? What was that? Did I get this right? He's out there building on his boat and everyone's out there laughing at him. You stupid old man, do you know in the world you do it? Good night, folks. He was 500 when he started building the ark. How many people started projects at that age? He just kept building the ark. Just kept building the ark. And Noah looked like a fool for over 100 years. And then the animals show up, and then he really looks stupid. He's got a wooden zoo with one window on the top. And boy, did he look like a fool. And then God said, from inside the ark, you come inside. And Noah comes inside, and the Bible says, God closed the ark, and God sealed it with his hand. And then they sat in there for almost a week. And then the first raindrop fell, and boy, did he look smart at that moment. And the great deep broke open, and the rivers of water that flow beneath our feet gushed to the surface, and God rushed to the oceans, to the shores, and in a matter of days, God flooded this entire world in a ball of water. And all that survived were just Noah and his people in the ark because his faith saved himself and his family. You know, we need in 2009 a faith that saves ourselves and our families. By the way, don't think that Noah excluded anybody. People excluded themselves. Could have saved a bunch of people if they'd have been willing to listen. See, it's not that the world has so many things to choose from and we're just another one on the list. It's the world will choose from those who are really convinced that what they have, they really believe and they live by it. And then they get interested. Why do you think they see that guy down in San Francisco paints himself silver and stands there for hours and never moves? And people stand there and look at him and I think, what? What? He just stands there. You drop a dollar in the plate. That's it. But they'll stand there and look at this guy. People need to get a life, by the way. But the truth is, dear people, do you understand? They're looking for somebody who really believes what they believe. Now, when we believe what we believe and act upon what we believe, there's a saving faith that comes from this. First of all, there's a saving faith of salvation. You must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior to be saved, friend, or you're not going to heaven. Period. That's it. That's all there is to it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You get saved by trusting Jesus Christ to save you, period. That's saving faith for salvation. You must have that. Now, does that mean anyone else will get saved? Well, the Bible says to the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 31, that Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Does that mean the Philippian jailer's house got saved because he did? No, it meant the Philippian jailer's house would now have the chance of salvation he had received. But they would have no chance unless he took care of business. Have you settled the matter of salvation in your life? The hope of your family, that dear blood-tied family to you, their hope is your salvation. You need to trust Christ and accept Him as your Savior. You get a burden for your family members and your loved ones and be concerned about their soul and their life because they're not going to heaven without Jesus Christ. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14 and 6. Acts 4, 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, you must be born again, for man cannot see the kingdom of heaven except he's born again. You must be born again. That's what the Bible says. Salvation is through Christ, period. That's it. We've got to be a Noah nowadays, my friend, in the world that has gone absolutely insane. And trust God by faith, a saving faith that saves you, first of all. And then how about your family? Then how about it, friend? How about those who are near you? How about those people with whom you work? Don't go to work and shove anything down anybody's throat, but for goodness sakes, don't you have a faith that even interests them? We don't believe in lifestyle evangelism. That's a coward's way to get around witnessing and soul winning. But they'll never get saved if they don't see something in you that's worth having. We've got to do something about this. Noah wasn't what you would call a great soul winner. After 100 years of preaching, him and 7 other people got in the ark. But at least it was his family. And how about it, friend? 2009, we need faith. Faith that lives. Stand our feet, please, this morning.